A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. He walked alone from there and saw two brothers, James and son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters. So, today is the third Sunday in ordinary time. And the Holy Father has also declared the third Sunday of ordinary time to be devout into the scriptures. Again, we go back to the things that we discussed last week. How can we understand exactly what the scriptures are telling us if we have forgotten the value that the scriptures bring with them? You see, it's not just a book. The Word of God is not just written and that's it. It is the Word of God. It is alive. It is transformative. It will change your heart if you allow it to do it. But the Holy Father is asking us to make the Holy Scriptures part of our life. But the thing is that in order for us to understand the Scriptures, there must be a proper way of understanding. Because anybody can just get the Scriptures, read it, and they then make its own reflection, its own interpretation. But it doesn't work like that. In the first place, before the Scriptures were written, there was already tradition. And thus, after that, we came up with the scriptures long, long, long time ago. And so, in order for us to understand the scriptures, we have to understand the situation, the history, and sometimes even the culture of those times when the Lord was right, when the holy writers were being inspired to write these things, and when Jesus was on this earth. You see, the first reading today tells us that Isaiah was telling these people, those who walk in darkness have seen a great light. How can we understand that? Those who walk in darkness have seen a great light? It doesn't make sense. But if we understand what Isaiah was going through and what he was pointing out, what was going on during the time of Isaiah, the Israelites in this area of Naphtali and Zebulun, they were literally wiped out. See? they were literally crushed by the Assyrians, by this powerful government, these powerful emperors. They were being literally crushed. How do we know this? Because there had been discoveries that there is an area beside Galilee, and they found a graveyard. What do we have in the graveyard? We found bodies of men, women, children, and all ages and sizes. And not only that, they were Jewish. Not only they were Jewish, they were buried with the bones, the remains of pigs. So you can see now how cruel these people were. Not only did they slaughter and kill the Jewish, the Israelites, but they buried them with the pigs. And we all know that the Jewish regard the pigs as something impure. How much of an insult and humiliation this was for them. But they didn't care. What was their focus and their mind? We are great. We are a great nation. We are powerful, and we want to conquer, and we will be the emperor of all of these things on earth. That's what they wanted. So literally, they were walking in darkness. And Isaiah says this, those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. He is speaking with conviction. And in the gospel, where did Jesus went to begin his ministry after John the Baptist was arrested? In Capernaum. In the area where all of these Gentiles, in the area that we can call a sin city. Why? Because it's close to the sea, and because it's an area of merchant people. So we have people coming from all around the place with different backgrounds, with different ideas, with different, all of these things. So it was regarded as a kind of sin city. And Jesus went there to bring the light. See? A problem, a seemingly problem, because Jesus received the news that John the Baptist was arrested and then he was going to be executed. Jesus did not stay just seated and waiting for it to happen. He came up into action. He went and gave light to these people who were walking in darkness, in confusion, in chaos. And then we have the apostles being called. You see, Peter was in that area, in Capernaum. He had his place there, his house there, and it's very significant for us. Because since the very beginning, when Jesus started his ministry, the first one who called was Peter. Not only that, but he made the house of Peter the headquarters. He made the house of Peter the base where he, after preaching, after going to the city, bringing the light of God, bringing the word of God, he comes back to rest with Peter in his house. You see, it's very significant for us. And so, we have this situation in which political crisis has people walking in darkness, oppression, confusion, chaos, power play. And Jesus comes and tells them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, because the light of God is here. But you will not see it if you focus on other things. You see, every political crisis will bring confusion, chaos, and all of these things. Behind it, it brings chaos, confusion, and trouble. And then we get an eclipse of God. The values and everything that God has given us gets eclipsed because all of this power play. During this week, we had the reading in which the judges, Samuel, the Israelites come to Samuel and tell him, give us a king. Because the other nations have a king and we don't have a king. Because they are powerful because they have a king and we don't have a king. They were asking for a king. And even when Samuel told them, if you want a king of this earth, you will suffer and you will die and your people will be oppressed. And what did they say? We don't care. We want a king. We want someone who will rule us. The question is, to whom was the offense? To Samuel or to God? The offense was not against Samuel. He was the one leading them, but it was not against him. It was against God himself. Because God was the king of them. They did not need any more king. They had the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the King of the universe. And yet, they wanted a king of human flesh. And what happened after that? After we have all of these kings, the Israelites divide themselves, and then the Assyrians come, and then they go into exile, and they become slaves. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, when we regard these things that the world is giving us, we have to be careful because we might be enslaved to these things. Christ is the light of the world. It's only Christ the truth. Only Christ is the one who will bring us salvation, nothing else. But when we start regarding all of these things as something else, what comes? Division among ourselves. Jesus Christ came and chose the disciples. The disciples never chose Jesus Christ. During that time, it was customary for the disciple to choose their teacher. But what happens when we do that? When I choose this teacher because I like it, I like the way he teaches, I like what he teaches. Everybody will get their own attitude, their own opinion, their own point of view, and they start taking sides. Division begins. Isn't it that what's going on in our political arena? I am a Republican, I am this, and I am that, and I am that, and division starts coming into society. I don't want to get into politics, but the light of Christ is what will unite us. Now, let me ask you, in your families, who is the one in the center of your family? Is it the light of Christ? Is it the truth of Christ? Or you are also taking sides? You parents, because this one looks more like me, I like him more. I take side. Because this one is more intelligent, I like him more. I go with this one. This is my favorite son. And you, my kids. Because my mom gives me more freedom, I will take side with my mom. Because I never see my dad because he's working, I'll take side with my mom. Because my dad gives me everything I want, I will take side with him. It doesn't work like that. We are not here to take sides. We are here to bring the light of Christ. The light of Christ should be the center of our families, the center of our community, the center of our life. Why? Because why do we have families not working as they should? Because everybody has their own opinion. Because the father has his own opinion, the mother has its own opinion. And then they unconsciously make the kids take sides. And even the brothers and sisters, the siblings, they are taking sides among each other. There is no unity in the family. But if we had the light of Christ as the center of our family, when you got married, you professed to be one. Not two, but one. And that will only happen if we have Christ as the center of our life. Because if we have Christ as the center of our life, we will all have one mind and one heart, one vision. We cannot be divided. We cannot say, I am from Apollo, and I am from Paul, and I am from Cephas. We cannot do that. The Apostle Paul is telling us that. Was it Apollo, the one who died for you? No. It was Christ, the one who died for us. See? So we need to bring the light of Christ in our life and listen to it. The Word of God makes miracles if we just make it the center of our life. The Word of God is not just another book. It will transform your life. But we have to listen to it with an open heart. You see, if everybody would just listen to what Jesus is saying through the Word of God, we all learn how to listen, how to be humble, how to love, how to be charitable, how to pray for others. Imagine if as husband and wife, you learn the same thing and you take the same attitude of Christ, there will not be any need for you to argue, because you will have the same ideal, the same heart, the same mind, and your children will take on the same thing. But if we ourselves are divided, how can we become out of this darkness, of this confusion? My dear brothers and sisters, let us pray for ourselves and for the world, so that we may open our eyes and see the light of Christ, so that the center of our life and our family will not be anything else but the Word of God, the life of Christ, so that we all can become of one mind and of one heart.